Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
WGN Radio's Hometown Voices Tour live from the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. Look at you people. Look at you people up at this hour. And I don't say this to every crowd, but I got to tell you, Lyle people are the best-looking people in all of Chicago.
Woo!
Look how good-looking these people are. It's unbelievable. Let me go live to Steve Grzanich back at the Tower. So the Attorney General lost her mind yesterday and decided to have a picnic with Bill Clinton, which was a terrible idea. And what's going to happen now? Because I just caught the end of it. Again, that's live from Steve, live at the Tower.
I can tell you this. Okay. She did have a meeting with Bill Clinton.
Now, I know all this. Hold on. Just jump to the end for me. All right, so I know she met with the Attorney General. That's old news. I'm just bringing that up to set up the story. So what did you just say so people can connect with that?
Are you talking about Hillary meeting with her or Bill?
No. The Attorney General meeting with Bill Clinton. So what is the offshoot now? Is there something else related to the Hillary story?
Yes, the U.S. Attorney General will announce whether charges will be filed against Hillary Clinton later today. She's planning a news briefing in Colorado. We don't know the time yet. CBS News and the New York Times both reporting that she will accept the recommendations of career prosecutors and move forward with whatever that decision is. We don't know what that is. She will not recuse herself from the case, according to the New York Times and CBS News. She said that she did not have any discussions about this with the Clintons, including Bill, yesterday when they met.
Okay, here's the deal. If you're like a lawyer right out of law school, you know this. You know, because I spend a good portion of time on the show bashing Trump. When Hillary or anybody related to Hillary deserves it, you got to bash him as well. Who's up for a little Hillary bashing?
Well,
I mean, it's ridiculous. You can't be the Attorney General and go hang out with Bill Clinton when Bill Clinton's wife, who's running for president, is potentially on the verge of an indictment or at least an FBI investigation when the FBI is part of the jurisdiction of the Attorney General's office.
Well, in a federal case, having covered the federal courts for many years at that other station, I can tell you that it's generally...
The other station's BBM.
Yes, it is generally...
And good luck to them. What are they doing now?
I don't think they're off the air. The general thing is, I mean, the feds will give you a heads up. If you're going to be indicted, if you're going to be arrested, they'll give you a heads up and say, hey, you're going to be indicted and we're going to come and get you.
Right.
Or you have to surrender, unless it's a criminal case.
Right.
So it's not out of the ordinary for a discussion, especially for the Attorney General.
Yeah, but that wasn't the point. That was not what they did.
Well,
she didn't get on a plane to go, hey, by the way, we're picking up Hillary tomorrow. Right?
It could have been to say,
she
hey,
said
listen.
They were talking about grandchildren.
Right.
Yeah. And there were other people on the plane who are prosecutors and, you know, people that are sworn law enforcement officers. So I would be very, very suspect of anybody saying there was anything wrong going on.
It's appearances, Steve. It's idiotic.
But they were not alone on that plane.
I don't care if they were on with Mr. Green Jeans and Captain Kangaroo. You can't do that. You can't get on and do that. It's just dumb. It's a very dumb move by the Attorney General. So, you know, so I don't know what's going to happen today in regards to this, but she absolutely should recuse herself unless she's announcing an indictment today.
Well, she did say she is accepting the recommendation of these career prosecutors who there's a firewall between them and politics, I can
she
tell you that.
She should accept the recommendations of the Steve Cochran Show.
Which are
to recuse yourself today at a point, the only judge that's fair in this, and that would be Judge Judy.
But she's not going to be prosecuting the case herself.
No, I know, Steve. It's a joke, for crying out loud.
I think.
But people hear you and they think
serious. Recuse herself. I really do.
So you think what?
I think she will recuse herself.
Nah, she said she's not going to do it.
I know she said that, but I just have a hard time thinking she's
what
not
going
to.
What is she recusing herself from?
Any sort of any hand in this.
She hands this off
whatsoever.
To her assistant. She has no. Yeah. She no longer is in charge of where the case goes from here. Because you're just handing this to Trump and the Republicans to say, well, of course it's a conspiracy.
But that's what she's doing. She's giving it. She's saying she's going to accept the recommendation of these prosecutors who are under her.
No, I understand that. But that announcement's coming later. I'm speaking to what's already happened. Yeah. I don't even know how she put herself in this position.
Unfortunately, you know, the U.S. Attorney General is also a political person. So there's that. You know, it is a mess. I'll tell you that. But having worked with a lot of these U.S. attorneys there.
Were you on the plane yesterday? Because I'm starting to suspect you.
I wasn't.
I'm starting to think you were actually on it with Stephen. Yeah. Check this out. Was Steve Grzanich on the plane yesterday?
I don't think so.
The feds give you, they send you a target letter.
No, you're sly. One day, 5 seconds here across the street, you're getting coffee.
Uh-huh.
You know, you're loose, man. You're all over the place. You could have been there. I want to see footage of where you were.
I don't know what to say to that. I don't think this discussion of recusing. I don't know if there's anything she's recusing. She's not going to be in the courtroom.
No,
well, the good news for you, Steve, the discussion's over. Today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from Taste of Des Plaines, is presented by Allstate agent Mary Gates Schurer. And I believe you guys spoke with her, right? And then it's her anniversary or her birthday?
Lyle, by the way.
What did I say?
Des Plaines.
Why does that say Des Plaines?
It should say Lyle.
You know, I'm just another pretty face. I read what's in front of me.
Lyle.
Are you sucking helium? Is it?
I am like the guy, what was Ron Burgundy? You put dirty words on this thing, I'll read it. I'm an idiot. You know that.
999, 1,000.
It's her.
Is it a birthday or anniversary?
10-year anniversary of being an Allstate agency owner.
How about a hand for Mary Gates Schurer, who occasionally has driven through Des Plaines, but is an Allstate agent from Lyle, which was my point to begin with. All right, Lou Manfredini's coming up. And if anyone here has a question for Lou, anyone live in Lyle who's got something going on at your house and you want free advice from Lou, we'll get you that here in a second. I have a surprise for Andrea and Mary and Dave in a moment. We're live at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival.
It's Lou's First Call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers, we won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's First Call.
Lou Manfredini, handsome devil that he is on every Saturday morning at 7 o'clock. He's on your TV, too, practically in your house, which is why we're going to have some people ask questions here. Good morning, Lou. How are you?
How are you, sir?
I'm just back from the road. I heard.
This is how it works, right? You get an extension on the contract, and then the next day you're off.
Right. That's the deal.
That's good.
Yeah, immediate vacation.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm very excited to be back. I'm going to be gone for a couple days.
Yeah. Well, here's what happened. My brother Mickey, who's my hero in life.
I know.
My brother Mickey's here visiting, but he was a little reluctant to. He doesn't fly.
Right.
Not a fan of the flying.
I remember that.
And he'd take the bus. He'd take the bus in. He got a little tired of taking the bus. So I said, look, we want you to come out. You haven't met Ross's baby yet? What would that be? His grandniece? What would that be? I don't know what that would even be.
Yeah. Grandniece.
Grandniece, right? Mm-hmm. So I flew to New York, rented a car, picked him up, and drove back.
Wow.
Holiday Road. So I saw something in Indiana I hadn't seen, and we need to pick this up next week.
Were you playing the piano on the dashboard like John Candy?
No.
Well, you could talk about the pit barbecue. Remember that scene?
I do now. Yeah. It's amazing, though. The time goes really fast until you hit about central Indiana, and then time just stops.
Right.
But here's what happened. I'd never seen this before. I pulled off at a rest area and to get some gas, right? Mm-hmm. So just pulling to get some gas. First off, the people running this rest stop in Indiana were, hosing people coming by because gas was like 75 cents more a gallon. But you don't know until you stop.
Right.
So I roll up, and it's jammed. I mean, everybody's getting gas at this place. And I'm trying to get to the pump, and there's a guy in front of me with a motorcycle trailer, and he's not moving. And he gets out of his car, and he's in the back seat of his car, and he's fumbling around. He's fiddling around in the back seat of his car. Now, look, as you know, Lou, I'm a very patient guy.
Oh, right. I mean, yes. It was, if you look in the dictionary, patience.
I am
Steve
nothing
Cochran.
If not
right.
patient. Right. So I waited the standard 15, 20 seconds. No, I waited about 5 minutes. And he's still fiddling around the back seat of his car. And it looked like he was, like, changing a diaper or something, right? So I have a little sympathy for that, with that.
Sure.
But I get out of the car. I got places to go, right? I'm trying to get home. So I get out of the car, and I go up to him. I go, hey, sir, if you don't mind pulling up, you're kind of blocking the pump. He goes, yeah, give me a second. He was making sandwiches.
No way.
He was making sandwiches. He had, like, 6 slices of white bread out, a jar of Hellman's open, and a butter knife, and a gas pump. He's making sandwiches at a gas pump.
Yeah.
Move your car.
Can't make that stuff up.
Move your car. This is not a sandwich-making station. I just don't understand. People don't think about other people anymore.
No. No, it is true. That is true. I mean, when I, I travel quite a bit, so I'm on airplanes quite a bit, and I am amazed at the lack of courtesy for individuals anymore.
Yeah, just
everybody rushes and just pushes out of the way, and they're just. There is a definitely me factor that I don't buy into.
We need to pick this up next week when we have more time after the 4th. But here's the number one culprit. How many times do you roll up to a stop sign or a red light now where you don't have to honk the horn because the dunderhead in front of you is texting?
Oh, my gosh.
Right? He's
it's
texting. He's not looking at the light turns green.
I'm telling you what, if the police want to make some money, they just have to drive around with me because I see them every day. Or driving down the road, you turn over and there's a... somebody sitting in a car driving down the expressway, looking at the phone. I'm going, what are you doing?
That's why right now I'm advocating the next time an officer sees someone do that at a stoplight and they don't move, 5 years in prison immediately. No trial, just send them right to jail.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
That seems fair.
I'll vote for
it?
You. At this point, I couldn't lose.
You know what? I am the best choice.
You are, and you're not even running.
Yeah, no, nor do I care to. We're live at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival. Let's go live to Andrea now, 17 feet in front of me with a new friend. Who's this?
This is my friend Ron. It's funny. While you guys were talking, he was asking me about all of you, what you guys are really like. So now he knows the full Monty. He knows the
did
full
Did you tell
story.
Him I'm bald, really, in real life?
No, I told him it used to be a dancer, though.
I did do
he
that.
He wanted to
yeah.
know where you
yeah,
danced yeah, yeah. and what
Curly.
Bands you were
We just
in.
Call him Curly.
He did. He wanted to ask Lou.
Joffrey Ballet.
He wanted to ask Lou a relationship question, but I said, no, you got to stick to home improvement.
Yeah, ask my house question.
Right. Okay, what's your question for Lou?
Well, I just wanted to let you know that last time I was on WGN, I was talking to Bob Collins at Soldier Field.
Wow. What were you guys doing at Soldier Field?
Well,
was it a Bears game or something?
He wanted me to read copy, so I was reading copy, but as you notice, I talk very slow. And so he lit the copy with his cigarette lighter.
And so Bob tried to just light a listener up. Yes. Did you anger Bob in some way where he tried to set this fire?
No, not at all.
Okay.
I'm going to anger you in a minute, though.
Oh, how do you know I'm not already there?
You want me to go to the next listener?
Yeah,
this is going great. No,
yeah,
what's your right. question, sir?
We're moving on, Andrea.
My question is basically for Lou, right?
Yeah, yes, sir.
I lost my girlfriend up in Oshkosh. She told me I was too short and that I drove a blue Impala. And her new boyfriend drives a beautiful Cadillac.
Yeah.
So what's his advice to me in terms of, you know, what should I do? I'm looking.
What should he do to his house?
Well, I think at this point you need to buy yourself a new Cadillac.
All right, write that down.
Thank you, Ron.
Right. Ron, write it down. Buy a new Cadillac, right. Ron. Buy right. a new Cadillac.
There you go. And we have Kathy, too, who wanted to say hi and has a question.
I'm just kind of worried that his girlfriend's lost in Oshkosh. Shouldn't we send out some kind of search party?
Right. I'll tell you off the air what he was saying.
Okay, all
you
right.
don't want to know.
Hi,
I don't
Kathy.
Think we can air that. This is Kathy.
Hey,
good
Kathy.
Morning. Good morning.
What's your question for Lou?
Well, we discovered we have poison ivy in our backyard.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
You got to move.
I think so.
Yeah. Sell the house immediately.
What's the best way to get rid of it?
There is an actual product for specifically for poison ivy that Ortho makes that you can buy it as a concentrate at the garden center or the hardware store, and you have to be very careful about application. And then once it's dead and it browns out, you want to get some long gloves, some leather gloves that you know extend up under the forearm, and you need to pull that all out. And then the best thing to do is then cultivate, and then try and change the pH of that soil by putting down a little lime. So to take some of the acidity out of the soil to prevent it from growing.
Is that before or after the margaritas?
That's after the margaritas.
Okay,
got a great group out here.
By the way, what is going on out there?
By the way, I don't know if you're single, but this guy Ron left a girl in Oshkosh.
Yeah, is everybody sucking on the hot air from the balloons, or what's going on?
We got a balloon expert coming in later. I don't know if you heard, I guess it was last week. Was it last week? Maybe it was this week. I asked the question on the air, what do you put in a hot air balloon?
I did hear that. I was worried. I hear that.
And then we had a very educated discussion that it may be helium.
Yeah, I heard about that whole thing, and I heard that the balloon business it's up and down.
Yeah, I'm a genius,
but
and you're a punster.
I know.
All right, so here's what I want to do, Lou. I want you right now to join me in telling Mary and Dave and Andrea. To head for the balloon. I want you guys to do the 6:30 update here. The big story, the traffic.
In the balloon?
In the sports.
In the
from
balloon?
The balloon. Head for the balloon.
I love it.
Head for the balloon.
I
love
see
it.
The roads there.
So you guys head for the balloon.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, Sandberg, we're going to do that funny thing where we move the show. So when they come back, the show won't actually be here. It's
right.
It's going to be hysterical.
You're like, where is he?
Got to be hysterical.
Yeah, I'm sure the engineer will love that.
Steve, why don't you come with us?
I'm a little busy. I'm tied down right here for a second. Where'd Ron go? Ron, listen, you're a big winner. Ron's not a big winner. Sorry, Ron. This just handed to me. Was it Kathy?
Kathy.
Kathy with the poison ivy.
She gets a
Wi-Fi thermostat from our friends at American Weathermakers.
Yeah, you can adjust the temperature of your home's air on your smartphone. Brought to you by American Weathermakers, mm-hmm. home of the 60-minute men. Call 855-955-HVAC. What are you doing for the 4th of July weekend?
We always go to Wilmette for the a little family fest with a group of friends Sunday night. So we're looking forward to getting together with a bunch of friends. And then I have a niece who's getting married a week from today, Ellen Jakubowski. So we're really excited about that.
Okay. And a little fireworks display in the neighborhood?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Very fun. How about you?
I'm going to Indiana to make sandwiches. I'm meeting a guy at a rest stop. Yeah, I'm bringing a fresh jar of mayonnaise. We're just going to make sandwiches.
I like the boar's head meat, if you can make that. I like that. You know,
I'm not sure there was even meat involved. The whole thing felt like a dream.
Hey, Steve, can you say American Weathermakers?
Again? Sure. Brought to you by American Weathermakers. That's exactly
855-955-HVAC.
All right, so you're on the radio tomorrow at 7?
Yes, sir.
And we're back with Andre and the Big Story and everyone from one of these beautiful hot air balloons. Do you know which one they're getting into, Sandberg? Is it the Remax balloon?
That uses air.
Yeah, it's the only hot one air. That's inflated, so.
Yeah, that'd be the one that should get in then.
She's
that'd
smart.
Definitely be the one
she Boy,
should
she's,
get
it's a good thing that she's running the place, right. Not you.
I almost moved this festival to Des Plaines 20 minutes ago, so
right.
What am I doing?
Right.
Thanks, buddy.
You've got to take care.
See you on TV in a second.
This is the Steve Cochran Show, live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
WGN Chicago.
720 WGN.
WGN Radio's Hometown Voices Tour, live from the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival, presented by Allstate. Chicago's own good hands. Good morning, Lyle. And we got a little bit of a wind issue out here. The balloons... They be blown up here, so you can come out and take some great pictures, but they're not able to fly, at least at this point. We're hoping the wind's died down a little bit, because I'm hoping to send Andrea and Dave and Mary to another town.
Steve, I'm a little bit afraid.
I didn't know you were listening.
They're showing Dave how to light the fire. Oh, my God. They're showing Dave how to light the fire here. I'm glad I wore hairspray today, by the way.
You're good.
That was good.
You can do my job today.
Yeah,
do you mind?
No.
Steve, please help me.
Steve, you got to try this. This is really
cool. You know, Dave,
cool.
I've actually been in the balloon where it's been off the ground a couple of times, but, you know, that looks like fun. Yeah,
boy, not naming names, but guess it was the biggest chicken to get into this balloon that's grounded, Steve.
Vanderbilt?
No.
You?
No.
Dave?
Yeah.
No, that's not true at all.
A little trepidation going on.
Not at all. Not
Dave,
at all, but
Dave,
Mary's...
Dave, it's a basket on the ground. How could you
Steve,
be hurt?
I wasn't. Andre is making the whole thing up.
Okay.
But Mary dug her nails into my arm so hard, I think I have red marks in my arm.
Quite a daredevil.
When they fired it up.
Quite a daredevil crew of the Steve Cochran Show.
Yeah.
I'll tell you that right now.
We're ready to go.
All right. Dennis Simons is standing by. As you wake up this morning, there is a temporary stopgap budget. Feel free to turn the basket's microphones off for this, please. Thank you. As you wake up this morning, there's a temporary stopgap budget for the state of Illinois. Woo, good one, fellas and girls. This will get us through Election Day because the cowards in Springfield wanted to make sure that you guys would vote for them again. It will fund most of the things that need to be funded. It will ensure that schools reopen. But it doesn't change the inherent problem we have in the state, which brings us to Dennis Fitzsimons, former boss of the Tribune Company and my friend, and a big part of the Independent Map Project. Good morning, Mr. Fitzsimons.
Good morning, Steve. Sounds like you're having a good time out there in Lyle.
Yeah, have you done this before? You must have been out here a couple of times, I'm thinking.
I haven't been out there for the Balloon Fest, no.
All the things you've done in life, you ever been up in a hot air balloon?
No.
I'm telling you, it's unbelievably, for people that are thinking about coming out, it's nothing but fun. And it's amazing what you can hear, because it's very peaceful when they're not firing the burner up. It's very peaceful, and it was just really cool. I've done it a couple of times, and I highly recommend it.
Well, good.
So you wake up this morning, and we've got a temporary budget. My concern is that the underperformance of Springfield has been so dramatic, this might feel like a win to people. There couldn't be anything more than the bare minimum here. This doesn't even rise to the minimum, and it doesn't address the larger problem, which is what the Independent Map Project is about, right?
Well, that's right. And I think Gallup put out a poll that Illinois ranks last among all 50 states in citizen confidence in state government. I don't think this temporary Band-Aid is going to change that too much. Plus, we're last in financial health. But,
so,
yesterday, we had a good we had a really good day yesterday in court. Our legal team did an excellent job presenting our case, which basically said that the independent map amendment complied with the requirements contained in the state constitution for amendments to reach the ballot. So, so we're feeling good about the briefs that we submitted and the arguments that our legal team has made.
Right, and again, this comes down to the ridiculous way districts are drawn up. Every 10 years, the party in power gets to redraw the districts, and they, to my mind, have never been drawn quite as specific as they are now to ensure that the people in office stay in office and that nothing gets done. That's the whole point of this, to make it a fair process, to encourage more people to get in, because there's people now that don't get in because they think they have no chance to win, right?
That's exactly right. And in November of this year, 60% of the state legislative races will go uncontested. And that's because of the process by which the maps are drawn. You know, politicians draw the maps in secret. They are self-interested, quite naturally. And they do it to maximize their party's advantage and protect incumbents. In 2014, really 97%, only one incumbent was defeated. So, and as you said, the maps are so well rigged it discourages opposition candidates from running because they know they have virtually no chance to win.
This, to me, is the absolute core of the problem and why the state of Illinois government is such a mess, because we've had no fresh blood, we've had no fresh ideas, and because people feel they can't lose their job, they pursue their own specific narrow agendas and, you know, then turn around and tell us they're working for us. It's a joke.
Well, it is. And, you know, frustrated voters, they're angry, and then they go to the polls and they have only one candidate to vote for. So, I mean, needless to say, there's a lot of cynicism out there. Turnout is low. Citizens just don't think their votes count. So, you know, we submitted close to 600,000 petition signatures on our amendment. This was back in May, and the Board of Elections has certified that we had way more than enough valid signatures to get on the ballot. And, you know, this amendment would change the system, have an independent commission draw fair maps out in the open. So, you know, more candidates will run and the voters will have more choices. And I don't think there's any doubt this would make politicians more accountable to voters in their districts and not just the party leaders who draw the maps.
The independent map amendment is a several-step process. We talked about the court piece. Stick around one second. I want to get a traffic update and a break here.
Sure.
And then I want you to explain to people how they can help and how they can get involved in this, because I think people want to feel like they're doing something to change Illinois' broken government, and this is the number one step as far as I'm concerned. More in a moment on 720 WGM, but first, Mary's back from her dangerous balloon ride.
Woo!
Back at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival, we're just talking to some folks here. The wind's starting to subside. The sun's coming out. And for folks who are coming out for a free ride this morning, if you're disappointed that the balloons aren't going up right now, they're going to give you a voucher to come back later.
Cool as that.
Because if they can't happen this morning, they're pretty confident based on the forecast they'll go up this afternoon or into early evening. It's like sunset time, when the balloons go up.
With the night glow. You know what it's so cool, though, Steve? Even though we weren't able to go up, just watching the process and seeing how it works,
it's like a science project, and I expect a paper.
And it was nice and warm in there, too.
Well, I expect a paper from all of you. Let me get back to Dennis Fitzsimons here for the independent map amendment. All right, Dennis, I know you worry about this being kind of wonky and people going, yeah, whatever, but I really feel like people are connecting to this, and I think, the number of signatures you've garnered so far is a testament to that.
Well, thanks, Steve. This really is a people's initiative. And we had thousands of volunteers around the state who were gathering those petitions. And also, we've had close to 1,000 individual contributors to this. These campaigns are not inexpensive to run. And that's been very gratifying that we have a lot of small donors. And, you mentioned what can people do. Well, if they're interested in this issue, and it's according to the Chicago Tribune, the most important reform that could come to Illinois and really change the system is go to mapamendment.org, and you'll see lots of information as well. If you can see your way through, hit the donate button, and that'll help us. We're in stage 3 of a 4-stage campaign, which is right now defending the constitutionality of the amendment. And then we're going to have a media campaign to try to explain this issue to the public and its importance, and really get people motivated to vote yes come November.
By the way, you know, aside from the fact that you and I have known each other for a long time, you know how much I believe in this. And are you guys getting some traction with other media outlets? Because if not, I just say to my other radio and TV brothers and sisters, step up and start talking about this.
Well, you know, we are. It's really building. But you said it. It is wonkish. It's not top of mind for a lot of citizens. So that's our job. We have to educate people and let them know what it means and how they can get involved. And we are trying to get on air as much as we possibly can to explain the issue. And you know, really appreciate getting time with you and being able to talk to your listeners.
Yeah, 60% of races, state legislative races, going unimposed. It's kind of hard to throw somebody out of office if there's nobody running against them.
It is. I mean, you know, our slate sometimes in certain districts, it looks like Cuba. You know, not a lot of candidates, and just one. And I think that's a big reason for the voter frustration and why you see Illinois ranking 50 out of 50 in citizen confidence in state government. So we've got to change that.
All right. So the lawsuit where we started this, which was brought forth by, in my words, not yours, the Madigan people, this thing now could get dismissed, or am I jumping ahead too far on that?
Well, the judge said she would rule by July 21st. And clearly, we thought our legal briefs and arguments were, you know, very cogent and to the point why we qualify. And the other side, the general counsel of the Illinois Democratic Party, the nominal plaintiffs were a group called the People's Map, but I didn't notice any of them on that committee in the courtroom. But so anyway, the judge seemed to be very thoughtful and listening to arguments of both sides. And by July 21st, we're going to have an answer. And we think, you know, given the situation and given the legalities, that you know, we're very confident in our position.
It's Dennis Fitzsimons, former boss here at the Tribune Company. He's got plenty to do. It's not like he's doing this for the laughs, but he cares about this. And I care about this, and we certainly hope you care about this, because it's a big deal. Independent, what is the website again?
It's mapamendment.org.
Mapamendment.org. You can help. It's very easy to make a donation. I did it while I was talking to you last week. And
I know, and we appreciated it.
And jump on and do the same. All right, Dennis, thanks. Have a great 4th.
Okay, Steve. Happy 4th. Thanks.
All right, mapamendment.org, a very big deal. Mayor of Lisle coming up. If anybody's got a parking ticket they need fixed, stick around, as we've got a lot of people out here this morning getting ready to either go up in a balloon or stare at us and go, so that's what they do? It doesn't seem that interesting. On 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Today's WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from Lisle, Eyes to the Skies, presented by Allstate. And Agent Mary Gate Schurer, celebrating her 10th anniversary. I'm just talking to some very nice people here. There's a woman who brought this over. She was going through her mom and dad stuff. Found the old Wally Phillips People book, where Bob Newhart and Mike Douglas wrote the foreword. I've never seen this.
Hey, cool. You know, I think
you have
I
a copy?
That. I do. It's a blue cover.
I think if you lived in Chicago in the 60s and 70s, you had to have this or you'd be arrested, didn't
right?
you?
Right? I think so. That's pretty cool.
So
are there
cool.
people in it?
It's top secret.
Oh.
Yeah, it's top
pictures
secret.
Pictures of
you have
people
to know the code.
Are just people.
Oh. Yeah, so that's... I think Wally wrote a couple of books, though, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah. What was the other one, Dave? Do you remember?
I don't remember. He wrote a book or two with Dan Fabian.
Didn't they write the Harry Potter series? Didn't Wally and Dan Fabian do
I think
do
they
that?
Did, yes.
Yeah, well, so. Joining us now is the chairman of the Lisle Eyes to the Skies, Chairman Brad, is it Hedich?
Hedich.
Hedich. Nice to see you, sir. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks.
How about a hand for Brad, who put this whole thing together? How late were you up, Brad?
Late.
Don't want to reveal it?
No, not today.
Okay, I understand. How many balloons in total will fly this weekend?
Well, it's somewhat weather dependent, but if we're lucky, over a couple of days, maybe we'll get 20, 25 up.
Pretty cool. Pretty cool. I don't know the history. This started just as a lark, or was it?
This is our 34th year.
I know that, but I mean, when the first one, would you have like one balloon and a guy had been drinking? How did it start?
You know what? I don't know exactly when balloons came into this, but it started just as a community
gathering. Started as a summer fest.
Yeah. And then eventually somebody said, hey, let's bring a balloon in, and you don't want sky high from there.
Yeah, it's taken off, and why not? And by the way, again, if you come out and it's too windy to fly this morning, they'll give you a voucher to come back and fly later on. We should mention, by the way, the carnival and the other stuff that's going on here. What else can people see if they bring their kids out? Because little kids in particular, there's tons of stuff to do.
Yeah, we've really geared the festival to be family-friendly.
Right.
So we have a large interactive carnival. We have a huge children's area with about 40 different booths, 8 to 15 little shows a day. We have a small circus that does motorcycle stunts, craft fair, 40 food vendors, 2 stages of music. Pretty much, you name it, we got it out here.
This is the Super Bowl, Andrea and Lyle. This is it, baby. This is Super Bowl weekend.
It's cool because you can look up from pretty much anywhere in this area and see the balloons up in the air over the weekend.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. And it draws from everywhere, right? You have people coming in from all over.
Yeah, not only all over Illinois, but we have people come from all over the country to see this fest. So, in fact, last year we had a group who was here from, I think, Scotland.
As chairman, have you gone up in the balloons a few times?
No, I have not.
You've never been up?
Nope.
Oh, you fraidy cat. What's the matter with you?
Hey, I'll admit it. I'm chicken.
No, there's nothing. I'm telling you, there's nothing to it. It's the most peaceful thing. I've ridden in a blimp, a dirigible, and, you know, it sounds like I can't even describe how loud it is next to you. You go up in these, they're just peaceful. Yeah. It's just cool.
Smooth as glass.
Somebody
we're
got a call
not
coming
convincing
in?
Him. We're not convincing him.
I want you to go up this weekend, Brad. I want you to do it for Andrea.
I'll think about it.
No, he's not going to do it, Steve.
So not going to do it. What are you doing? You're not doing this?
Doing the festival?
Yeah, do you have
a job?
I feel
like that's all I do. Yeah. No, I have a consulting company. We work with banks and commercial borrowers.
And a lifetime Lyle guy?
Not lifetime. Been working and living in Lyle now for about 11 years.
Well, good for you. Nice for you to step up and do this. If there's one message you want out to people who are thinking about coming but they're not sold yet, what do you want to say to them?
Honestly, it's a great festival, and there's a lot to do, and they should really come check it out. They'll find stuff that they'll enjoy here, and the kids will love it.
Through Monday, right?
We're through Friday.
Through Sunday. Dude, you're shutting down tonight? Sunday. Monday's cleanup day?
Monday's cleanup day, yeah.
Okay, got it. It's actually probably a pretty bright idea when you think about it, because Monday people want to hang with their families and stuff, maybe do the barbecue thing at home.
Yeah, big fireworks.
So you come out, you do the Lyle Eyes to the Skies thing all weekend, and then Monday you hang with your family, and it's a shorter period of time, so you can get rid of them.
How about that? 70,000 people expected to be out here this weekend.
Yeah, it's nice. Nice job by you, man. Thank you for coming over.
No, thank you again for being here.
Appreciate it. Chairman Brad?
Heddick.
Heddick, that's exactly right.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Thank you to Leader Durkin, Leader Redonio, Republican Caucus, for standing firm and coming now to a grand bargain, a grand compromise to get us through this crisis. I would also like to say personally a thank you to President Cullerton for some flexibility and creativity in the negotiations. And I would also compliment Mayor Emanuel for some flexibility and some creativity on his part. And the Democratic caucus has been willing to compromise, and we thank them for their efforts in that regard.
I didn't notice Speaker Madigan's name in there. Did he mention Governor Rauner when he made any remarks yesterday?
I don't recall Speaker Madigan mentioning Governor Rauner when he made his statement yesterday either.
I'd say put him in a cage match for the two of them. I like Rauner's chances. Joining us now is Senate Republican Leader Christine Redonio. So, you know, look, none of you guys get high fives for this, but congratulations on at least getting over the hump.
Right. At least there's some predictability and stability for the next few months in the state.
All right. So what was the key? Was there any particular domino that had to fall?
You know, I think what we saw was a classic example of the Madigan brinksmanship, which is how he has negotiated in the past, and that is to drive everyone to the brink. We were definitely on the brink of a crisis. He came in the day before that and said, okay, I guess I'm ready to negotiate. even though the governor's been, you know, practically begging him to come to the table for the last several months.
The point I've been trying to make, look, if you have issues with Governor Rauner, then you're entitled to those issues. But I'm just saying, anybody who, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, or Martian, at some point take a step back and look at the fact that Rauner's been around for a little over a year, maybe could have chosen his language a little more carefully. But how about the rest of us just grow up and realize we have a fire on our hands and somebody's got to put out the fire? When you have 44 or 45 agenda items that he lets go to try to come up with something, and the best we can do here is a Band-Aid? Sorry, the guy that's been in charge for 40 years plus, to me, is the root of the problem. And I've said it publicly again and again and again, and I'll continue to say it. But this is a day not for celebration, but for asking important questions that people wonder about. So the funding that came up yesterday, what does it pay for?
Well, it will pay to get schools open on time. It will prevent any of our universities from having closed. It will keep the lights on in the state prisons and the driver's license offices. So it's clearly a stopgap measure. But remember, the Democrats told us point blank, don't even think about a comprehensive solution until after the election. We are not interested. So again, because of the supermajority, they left the new guy in town, the governor, who wants to really change some things in Illinois, with no choice but to do a stopgap measure.
Right, and they drag their feet on doing a stopgap measure. Now, what about the road projects, the construction projects? Because as of, I think yesterday was the kill date for all of that. Is that all going to be funded? Those jobs aren't going to be lost, and
yes.
Those projects aren't
going to
be lost.
Yes, those will be funded. Right, okay. It will continue.
So, Senator, you're going to be back at the same situation at the same point again in December or in 6 months when this particular...
In November,
this funding will run out. Where is that money going to come from at that point? Because I'm sure you're looking ahead now.
Well, of course. And I think that the answer here, the point the governor's made over and over, is the real answer to success in the state is to grow the economy. And the only way to do that is to implement some reforms. So we will be back talking about reform. And I think one thing is important to note, that even in the stopgap measure, there was, as part of the agreement, a overtly stated agreement from the Democrat leaders that pension reform would be taken up post-election. Now, why it has to be post-election, you know, I'm sorry, I disagree with that, but that's part of the agreement. So we will be back talking once again about reforms.
So is it possible that pension reform, which is the absolute choke of the financial health of the state, is it possible the Democrats are going to give on that post-election?
That is what they've said. And actually, the Senate president has been supportive of pension reform. The governor has agreed that his model is one that we should consider. And there are some other smaller things that we can do that actually save quite a bit of money that will be taken up at that point. So, yes, at least the Senate president has agreed that we will take up pension reform.
It's Senate Republican leader Christine Redonio. And, by the way, all of the big four plus a governor are invited on today. And if they decide to show up later as well, we're still getting crickets when we ask for Madigan. But as we go forward, Christine Redonio, are we going to go through the same news cycle where there's not going to be any talking until there absolutely has to be, and it'll go to the last minute, and it'll be the same stress and strain on people? Or will the people of Springfield in charge do the right thing and get together this summer?
Well, you know, it's not the people in Springfield so much that need to get together. It's the people that send the people to Springfield that need to get together. We need to change the dynamic in Springfield.
Yeah, I know, but honestly, you're talking about a longer-term solution. I'm talking about right now. Because all of these political problems have a short-term, a medium-term, and a long-term solution. Fixing the big picture, I couldn't agree with you more. But here's what I don't want to see. You know, the same way strikes are handled and everything else. We'll wait until after the election, and then a week later we'll get together and we'll act like we didn't have any time to do it before now, and the people of Illinois will have to go through the same stress and wonder what's going on. That's what I mean by the people
of
Springfield.
Unless they send some different people, and that's what we're talking about. That can happen between now and when we get back together, and believe me, that very next meeting after the election will have a different dynamic if there's some changes as to who they send to Springfield.
Well, wouldn't you have a lame duck session, though, where the people could vote on the way out to do the damage they'd want to do?
Well, they could, but the message will have been sent, and that is impactful.
Senator, real quick, property tax back on the table. Property tax increase back on the table. How come?
Well, the property tax that was in the package is authorizes the city of Chicago to impose whatever level they need in order to bail themselves out of their own problem. They have created the problem. What we did in this bailout package, or shouldn't say bailout, but we've authorized them to a lot to fix their own problem.
So is there a schedule? And yes, voters step up, do what you need to do to elect the people you want to elect in November. But short of that, between you and Durkin and Madigan and Cullerton and Rauner, is there any schedule of when you'll meet again?
There is no schedule at this point of when we'll meet again. None.
And will the work
the veto session schedule.
Will the work committees that put together this deal get together over the summer or at some point?
Well, again, I think they will. Certainly people are free to talk to each other. A lot of good work did come out of those groups. It's clear there is more consensus amongst rank and file members than is reflected in some of the leadership statements. So I think that work will continue.
But no schedule.
There is no formal schedule at this point.
Who asked for that, by the way? Is it the governor, or any of you free to suggest it? Who asked for the four tops and the governor to get together?
The governor's office has led those meetings, and so I think that they will probably continue to schedule them and have those groups talking. But I think for right now, we were glad to get some relief in place before we left. So that could happen as soon as next week, I suppose.
Well, let the Republican caucus know that they are going to hear the same sort of noise they've heard going into this, including at the ballot box, unless you continue to push along the lines you have. And listen, the people that want to call me some shill for the Republican Party right now can do that. They're the same people that call me a shill for the Democrats when I go to the other side. All I want is what's right for this state, and I don't believe what's right for this state is the way Mike Madigan has run the House and put a chokehold on everything else. So I really hope, Christine Redondio, that you and others are able to craft something before the middle of November that you can act on, like right after the election, so we're not hung out to dry again. And I hope you can take that message back with you.
Well, I share that hope, believe me.
All right. Thank you for coming on. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
7:30, Steve Cochran Show continues. You know, the one thing that would have made my head explode today, if there was some circle meeting where everybody was kumbayaing it and high-fiving each other, the bare minimum responsibility for the elected officials of this state is to do a budget.
Yeah.
They have failed miserably, and they failed in both parties. But again, I continue to say what I've said all along. I think the governor brought in a very aggressive reform agenda, too aggressive in some ways. But when you peel back 95% of what you asked for to try to get something done, and Madigan's folks say, good luck, we're not doing anything until after the election, who's at fault?
And who suffers?
And you're lucky you weren't watching the debate and everything on the floor yesterday, because they were kumbayaing. They were patting themselves on the back. One lawmaker even got up and said, you know what, we did this job. And she even criticized the comptroller for withholding her paycheck.
The most honest person in the state of Illinois,
Leslie
has been
Munger.
Throughout?
Right.
Leslie Munger, the state comptroller. She's the one person that stood up and said, I don't care who's upset with me. I'm going to do whatever I can do within the power of my office to do the right thing. So the people listening, again, you know, summer gets busy and time moves forward, and then we're going to get into the fall. I don't disagree with what Redondio just said. If you don't like what's going on in Springfield, vote the bastards out. But in the meantime, with 60% of offices going unopposed, as Dennis Fitzsimon said a half an hour ago, you got to do more than that. And the four tops and the governor have to step up and say, let's get together this summer, let's get together with the work groups going into the fall, and let's have a friggin' solution.
They should take a page out of the Durbin-Kirk playbook, reach across party lines, get together, and try and solve some problems.
Right, and click their heels.
Yeah.
All right, big story next on 720 WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Thank our booth announcer, Anna DeVlantis, who gets up early and does that every morning. We're live here at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival, presented by Allstate. And Allstate agent Mary Gates, sure, we'll meet her later, and it's her anniversary of her agency, 10 years. Congratulations. Lyle Eyes to the Skies continues this morning into the day. These clouds are gone. The mayor is here. The mayor has assured me these clouds are going to blow through in just a matter of time. Mr. Mayor, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing today? Joe, welcome to Lyle.
Thank you, sir. Joe Broda. Right?
Yes, Joe Broda. Yeah.
How long have you been mayor?
I've been mayor since 2001.
It seems like a long time. Have we talked about term limits for you?
No, we don't. But before that, I was a trustee on the board since 86, so this has been part of life.
No kidding. What do you do when you're not mayoring and trusteeing?
Well, as you had referred to earlier, retirement is like I'm on unemployment.
Yeah, yeah.
I've been retired since 2001.
Is that right?
Yeah.
But you're probably busier than ever.
I am. Keeps me busy full time.
Now, when I moved to, you know, I've got the double wide in East St. Louis, but I got the summer home in Naperville. When I moved to the West Burbs here, Lyle is kind of exploded in the last 20 years. How much of this is your direction, Joe?
Well, a lot of it's underneath our direction. So being in 86 on the board, so most of the development you see on Warrenville Road was part of our leadership.
Yeah,
but in the last 15 years, we've developed our downtown, had some major developments. We've got the sports complex at Benedictine University. A lot of things have happened, and a lot of things are happening in the future.
How about a hand for your town, people? Give your
hand. All right.
Town of Lyle applauding themselves. We're here at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival, and this is 34 years?
It's 34 years of the event. It's been great.
All right. And when are you going up in a balloon?
Well, I'm scheduled tomorrow morning, and it'll be one of my... I've been up there umpteen times already.
Uh-huh. Umpteen. How many times is that?
My first time was 89.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So you figure it out.
Yeah.
Not every year, but almost every year.
Umpteen's a lot. Yeah. And 75,000 people expected to show up this weekend for a family festival that when you were, a councilman, you probably couldn't have imagined.
Well, it's basically, I've seen it grown. I've seen it grown from a few hundred people out here in the very early days to what it is today. It's a fabulous event, and I have to congratulate the committee for doing all their hard work making this happen. They're all volunteers. Everybody you see running around with blue shirts are volunteering to make this festival successful.
What's your favorite part about it other than the balloons?
The entire festival. The fireworks. You love the fireworks.
When are the fireworks?
We have fireworks on the 1st, 2nd, and 3rd.
Oh, every night?
Every night.
Okay.
I have a fireworks question.
Go ahead. We were talking
about this earlier in the week. I heard, so I live in the city of Chicago, so on the 4th, I'm on a rooftop watching, if I look out west or south and southwest, right. I can see all the fireworks displays. Somebody told me that Lyle has the highest fireworks displays that go up the highest trajectory into the sky.
I'm not going to argue with that. Okay. I'll take credit for that.
Mayor Broda in charge of the height of the fireworks.
Yeah,
congratulations.
Good.
For anybody that's thinking about coming out, what's your message to them?
Oh, hell. Heck, I would say come on out.
Oh, hell. Come on out.
It's a great event for family and friends. One of the key things of the event, if they can get here around 6 o'clock at night, the balloon field opens up. The balloons will be blown up on the field so they can get up close and personal. And it's an awesome feeling to have little kids looking at that hot air balloon, looking inside of it. That's an excitement by itself. Being on the hill, watching the balloon glow at night and listen to the music.
Sure.
And then the fireworks thereafter. It's a wonderful experience.
And that's very romantic. Are you married, Joe?
Absolutely.
That's a very romantic thing.
51 years.
Think it'll last?
Of course.
Yeah.
I got too much invested.
Yeah. So can people do photo ops with the balloons tonight? Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, so you can come out and do a little selfie with a balloon?
Yes, they will. They open it up the field and people can walk
around. Tell some cockamamie story that you were the big hero, went up.
Well, I won't tell that kind of stories.
Yeah.
But,
well, we're excited for you, and it's nice of you to be here. And we got little kids out here already. You know, I'm fascinated by the little kids that run around.
I know.
At what age does that go away, where you just drop something and just run in a completely different direction? Yeah, a cat comes into a room, and the cat doesn't know why it's in a room, and it runs back out. That when you're 3 or 4 years old, that's a good time. Like these little guys that are out here, these little girls, too, they just stop. They drop whatever they're doing, and they run in a completely different direction. And then they get over in the other direction, and they go, oh, I've got to run back now.
Yeah.
I haven't done that in years.
Yeah.
Let's all get up and run around.
We can do that.
Mayor Joe Broda. Mayor, congratulations on all your success.
Thank you so much.
When are you up for re-election?
April 17.
I want to announce I'm endorsing you right now.
Okay, thank you.
I'm endorsing Mayor Broda for re-election.
Thank you.
So this interview went well, just based on this. Now, if I find out there's trouble...
There's no trouble in town.
All right, good. Nice to see you, Mayor, and go say hi to your citizens. WJ Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival, again, presented by Allstate, Chicago's own good hands. Andre Darlis is going around the crowd trying to pickpocket people.
Hardly. No, I found the head of the park board here is Don Cook. He's a big WGN big
fan. Yeah, I met
fan.
Don.
Met Don, and
yeah.
His beautiful wife is here as well, and I started to talk to her, and you know what he said to me? Can I out you? He said, oh, that's just my wife.
Dude.
You want to talk to me?
What are you doing? You seemed like a really smart guy when I talked to you.
She's used to it.
Oh. How long have you been married?
31 years.
31 years. Yeah, look at you look for confirmation. It is 31, isn't it, honey?
She says yes.
Yeah. So, Andrea, you have probing questions?
Yeah, I do have probing questions. How many years have you been doing this, and what draws people to this festival? 70,000 people are expected this year.
Yes, I don't know how many years, but I've been numerous years, put it that way. And it's a great event, and it's kind of like low-key. So we do get 70,000 people, which is a lot for this community, but we got the open space to handle it all, and it's a beautiful area, and there's a lot to do.
And the NyQuil is beautiful, too. Steve, I got some stats before, too. A lot of gentlemen use the hot air balloons as ways to propose to their girlfriends.
Oh, how much? They do that every year?
Bennett told me his success rate is 80%.
80%?
About that.
Wait, whoa. Where's Bennett? We got to talk to Bennett about that.
How about that? Bennett's over. Yeah, we'll get Bennett.
Bennett, you need to come over here. I want to know about the 20% that didn't work out.
He was talking about the couple that didn't work out, and I'm like, what do they do?
Well, wait. We should have Bennett tell this story.
Bennett's got to explain what happens in the balloon when they say no.
All right, so we're back with Bennett.
Awkward.
Hold on, we're back with Bennett here, Steve. And he was telling us a little bit about the stats. Tell Steve the stats, Bennett.
Well, we've had 33 couples that have proposed and they've said yes. I've had three couples flown out of their weddings. Three couples got married while we flew. And two guys proposed and the girls said no.
All right. So, listen, I'm not a fan of car crashes, but two said no. Was the guy clueless, like when they got in and you knew he was going to do this? Did you know it was trouble?
I generally know that they're going to ask. My father-in-law told me 31 years ago, you're supposed to know the answer to the question before you ask it.
Yeah.
And the third thing is when she says no, and we'll talk about it later, I go to my corner and everybody goes to a different corner and nobody talks. And
so she literally said no and we'll talk about it later?
No, and we'll talk about it later.
Well, thank God she said no. The guy was in for a lifetime of a nightmare.
And where do you go? To their corner. And keep in mind the corner is about, what, 2 square feet?
Correct.
Now, what about the other turn down?
That was, a guy that brought up, he wanted a violinist to play and serenade.
No,
and
dude.
It's like, okay. And that was a flight from West Dundee up toward Crystal Lake. And she said no, and it just went completely silent the whole rest of the flight until Bennett said,
"But it wasn't
time
even
to land, flex your knees, that's it."
Wasn't even thinking about it. So and, both of them were just no.
Correct. We usually tell people to wait until halfway during the flight so they enjoy themselves before they could potentially get turned down.
Sandberg, I want women to hear this message. We are clueless. Okay, so if you're going to turn down a proposal, can you at least wait until the balloon lands? Or you might as well just tell them to jump.
Yeah.
That is the proper etiquette, I believe.
I would suggest say yes, and then when you get out of the balloon, say, sorry.
Yeah.
This was putting it on.
Kidding!
Yeah.
I wouldn't say we'll talk about it at how high up?
1,000 feet.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
I want to know, in this proposal situation, did they even look at the ring, or did the guy keep the ring, or...
I hope he kept the ring. He kept it, but I also had one guy who I thought it was pretty funny. He proposed and he had a cubic zirconium type of ring, put it on her finger as her finger's over the side of the basket, and purposely dropped it. And she's freaking out because she's thinking it's a big diamond ring.
Oh, yeah. Hilarious move.
You have to have a sense of humor.
Like you telling Maureen, do you want to go to prom? Well, someone
why don't you go
you
to
that?
Yeah, why don't you go there?
It's balloon humor.
Yeah.
Are those two still married?
I don't know.
Because I know a couple that we could hook them up with. We swap them with the ones that said we'll talk about it later. We're just about Bennett making people happy. So,
right.
But again, the success rate is what?
33 out of 35.
That's pretty good. How about a hand for Bennett the Balloon Man?
Woo-hoo! Thanks, Bennett. That was awesome.
And Bennett's our Remax guy, right?
Yeah, Bennett is our Remax guy. He just took the balloon down.
Well, can't explain what that means.
Oh, well, no, I know. Bennett,
Bennett deflated the balloon.
Exactly.
Took the balloon down. Sounds like a crash.
No. You're right. Yeah. Let me reiterate. We did the 6:30 big story from Bennett's balloon. We weren't allowed to go up because it's a little too windy.
A little breezy this morning, that's all.
But he was showing us how to light the flame.
Yeah.
Light the flame. And now he had to collapse the balloon, which was grounded because it is a little too windy.
But it's going to be fine later, people.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9. Hello, buddy.
Good morning. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. We're live at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival. Oh, the band quit early. We're at the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival. You know, it's a holiday weekend. The band probably had a gig.
Are you in one of those balloons right now?
Well, we were going to go up, but at 200 feet, the wind right now is blowing at over 1,000 miles an hour. So they can't fly the balloons right now, but they will later, and they will throughout the weekend.
If you were a real man, you'd still go up.
Oh, I'm ready. I've done it a couple of times. It's fun. Have you ever been in a hot air balloon?
I mean with the dangerous winds.
Yeah.
No, you couldn't pay me enough to
go. Dude, I'm telling you, people are afraid of this. I don't know why they're afraid of this. It's so easy.
I don't...
I'm the furthest thing from a daredevil. It's totally fine.
I could go on, like, the second or third story porch of a building and break out in flop sweat.
He's not kidding. I flew to L.A. once with Dean, and as soon as they said, put your seat backs up, Dean went, no! No! And he tried to run off the plane. It was unbelievable.
Oddly, I'm okay in planes, but put me near a window or a balcony or something like that, and I get into the fetal position.
Hey, speaking of the fetal position, no, there's no tie at all to what I'm about to say. You're doing the fireworks on Channel 9?
I am on Monday night on the 4th of July.
Right.
I'll be out on Navy Pier because who doesn't want to hang out with a million people?
Right.
All in
on a school night.
On a school night, especially because I do have to be up the next morning. But
who's your co-host?
I'm doing it solo.
Channel 9 must really hate me. They, you know, I mean, by the way, I wouldn't do it. But you know, me, you know my policy.
Nobody was better than you. You mean?
You know my policy. I want to be asked to do everything. I just won't show up for much.
Yeah, I know that.
I used to do the Channel 9 fireworks with Paul Conrad, and then we were both fired. From that. And why are they asking you to do it solo? They can't get anyone else to work? What is that about?
No, I don't know. I think, you know, Steve, the star of this show is the fireworks.
Nah, it's a load. Maybe this is why they asked me not to do it anymore. But the star of the show, you got to vamp. You got to talk for a while, and you got to make it interesting leading up to the fireworks.
I can do that.
And invariably, there's some sort of problem where somebody forgot a match. Or a lighter, and they've got to run to the Walgreens. Then you got to vamp, and you got to stall some more.
Is that how they start all the actual fireworks?
Yeah,
with a Bic lighter.
Yeah. Yeah, yep, absolutely.
And a flare.
Right. So, then once they light the first firework, they use that to light the others. Now, so it has to be done very quickly.
That will be an interesting anecdote that I can use while I'm padding time. I can say that my friend Steve Cochran, who did not get invited to be part of this broadcast. Mentioned to me that each and every one of the fireworks that you were about to see were actually started, ignited by a Bic lighter that they just went and bought at Walgreens a few minutes ago. They went and they got that and some Slim Jims.
Right. That's exactly how it works. Anyway, what time does this festive thing start on Monday?
I'm glad you asked. It's going to be 9:30. There'll be the 9 o'clock news, a shortened 9 o'clock news. Fireworks will be from 9:30 until 10.
Well, hold on a second. So at 9:30... it's completely dark, so they just go, you go, hi, I'm Dean, and then the fireworks start? They don't even give you a show.
No, well, there's a little bit of a pre-show that starts that I'll do, and a little bit of a post-show that I'll do.
I don't like the way this is developing. I want to talk to your people.
What do you want, like the Macy's Day Parade out there? Come on, it's a fireworks show. There's no Snoopy balloons involved in this.
Where will you be positioned so people can put profane signs behind you?
That I'm not allowed to disclose. Not only am I not allowed to disclose, it's been the subject of much discussion this week of how secure I'll be.
Yeah,
because you have actually kind of put the fear of God into me with this, having almost been trampled several years when you and Paul Conrad did this.
There was a little bit of a kerfuffle involving a couple of thugs. And really, Paul was never in danger. But you're going to be just fine. And it's Monday night at 9:30.
I'm kind of thuggy myself, so.
Yeah, you are. Yeah,
I guess anyone that would actually say the word thuggy isn't that thuggy, really.
Here's what's coming up, and then Andrea has fireworks fun facts. You have one fun fact?
I have a fun fact for Dean that he can use.
All right,
hold on. This is legit. Not that all yours weren't, Steve.
No, mine are totally legit.
Totally legit.
Hold on. This is a good tease going into the break. Stand by for Andrea's fascinating firework fun facts.
Fun fact.
Dean's going to review some movies. And wait a second. You're doing the Bill and Wendy show today?
I'm filling in for Bill today.
Christ on a bicycle, man. You need $20? You're working too much. Take a nap.
You want to come and join us?
Not a chance.
I just wanted to invite you. I knew it would never happen. I just wanted to invite you.
Movie reviews, and also Dean has information. Apparently James Taylor has joined Guns N' Roses, or I'm combining those two stories.
You may be a little confused about that.
Yes.
You can travel Chicago. We'll be calling his name. Dean Richards, the entertainment editor, Channel 9 and 720.
It's a nice morning in Lyle. The Remax balloon's getting blowed up real good again. That's your friend Bennett doing that, I suppose. And Dean Richards is standing by. If any of the crowd here has a question for Dean, just raise your hand. Andrea will bring a mic out.
Mm-hmm. You have Bennett blowing up the balloons?
Yeah, it's not actually that Bennett. You're thinking of your Bennett?
Yours and mine.
Right. No, this is actually, though Andrea called him Bennett.
I did call him Bennett Wake Knight.
This is Bennett, the Remax balloon guy.
Ah.
Yeah. But the hot air balloons are being blown up now, and they're going to fly today as time allows when the wind dies down. What are you shaking your head about, man? I'm doing a live show. Why are you shaking your head?
We don't blow up balloons.
You don't, are you the balloon guy?
We inflate them.
You inflate balloons. All right. All right, well, feel free to heckle. We'll bring you back in to discuss this in a second.
Steve, I'm going to say you don't want to get him mad.
He's the balloon man.
I'm going to say whatever he says, you just agree with it until the balloon flight is over.
That's probably a good call. The WGN Radio Hometown Voices Tour, live from the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival, presented by Allstate, Chicago's Own Good Hands. James Taylor at Soldier Field last night?
No, he was not. James Taylor was at the Wrigley Field last night.
But wasn't he there earlier before he went to Wrigley?
No, not that I don't think he's
I ever, thought he stopped by to just see if anybody was there.
I don't believe that he's ever, I don't think he even knows what Soldier Field is.
So James Taylor was at Wrigley Field last night. What happened,
Dean?
He
was at the friendly confines. Would you like to hear a little sweet baby James?
I'd love to.
James? You know, the MyPillow people ought to give away complimentary James Taylor albums with all of their pillows.
It would work out well. What song is this?
Is that Walkin' Man?
I don't know that song. Is that new? Is that old?
No, it's an old one. I don't know if it's from the first album, but it's from back in the day. It's from the early 70s for sure.
He is a delightful fella. You ever met the
James? I have.
He really couldn't be a nicer guy, but he's an odd duck.
What do you mean?
Well, he's just very in his own head kind of thing. Not a bad way. He's just one of those guys that just seems kind of shy almost.
He does seem a little shy, almost uncomfortable in his own skin.
Remember when he was with Carly Simon?
I do.
Remember when Carly Simon was Carly Simon?
I remember
I
that
was about
song,
11 then.
Mockingbird that they sang together?
I remember I said, that's a girl.
You probably think that song is about you.
Yes, I do, as a matter of fact. All right, it was a great good
Jackson
show.
Jackson Browne was on the bill with them last night. They sang the old Eagles song that Jackson Browne actually wrote, Take It Easy, together. And it was a great night at Wrigley Field. I was not there. I was at Soldier Field. But it's very confusing. Very, very confusing.
Right, this is
who we had in town last night. James Taylor
at
the Wrigley Field. Scarlett Johansson was down at the Ritz-Carlton last night.
I didn't even know she sang.
She sang Take It Easy, the old Eagles song that she wrote. A lot of people don't.
What was Scarlett Johansson doing in town? Because I can tell you, she spent half the night calling me, and I said, listen, I got to get some sleep.
She got the Gene Siskel Film Center's Renaissance Award, a Career Achievement Award, last night. So they had
Renaissance.
A nice
Renaissance.
Look, how are you going to get a celebrity to come to town if you don't make up some award and give it to them?
But Scarlett Johansson, Renaissance. She's been a star for 10 years.
Well, she's been nominated for 3 Golden Globes.
Thank God we're reviving her career with a Renaissance Award.
So they did that. She was here last night.
Who else?
And Guns N' Roses were actually got into town last night. I went over to Soldier Field where they will be performing tonight.
That was my point to begin with.
Their show at Soldier Field tonight is completely sold out. They've got another on Sunday for which you can still get tickets.
Sandberg, you're a Guns N' Roses groupie, I think, aren't you?
I am, and I was supposed to go see them in 1993 when I was in high school. But a girl got trampled at one of their shows in Canada, so then my dad pulled the plug on that.
Yeah,
probably wise. But
said I prefer you not to be trampled. But as far as we know, that is not part of the show, Dean. Right? They don't trample any of
that.
They
do not do a stage trampling anymore. Yeah. They stopped doing that. But it's been
so. Have you ever seen them live? Because Dean can hook you up.
I've not. I love Axl Rose too. November Rain.
Have you seen him lately?
No. Well, oh yes, he's a little bit puffy in the face.
Yeah. Well, we all are.
I'm told that he's looking great. He hurt himself. You know, he hurt himself yeah. He's been touring, doing a European tour with AC/DC.
The thing. He's in front of every band now, right? He's a front man for AC/DC, for Guns N' Roses. I believe he's with England Dan now. It's England Dan and Axl Rose.
Right. You got to keep working. You got to stay busy.
But do you need a Slash with him now?
Yeah, Slash and Duff, the original Guns N' Roses is all back together again. First time since 1993.
Sandberg's having a high school flashback.
1993, first time. It's the first time in 23 years that they're going to be performing together. Aww. The tour coming into Soldier Field, this is the fourth stop in their tour. It's getting great reviews around the country. And I was there while they were setting up the staging and everything. I talked with the production manager, who was also with them back in the 90s when they were performing last time. Dale Sherseth is his name, and he talked about putting this show together. And listen to this.
Pyro throughout the show, of course. There's pyro. There's a lot of video contact that goes along with the pyro. There is a lot of effect. And again, the big effect is them. They're on stage. They're together. After 23 years, they are on stage together. That is a big effect. It's as good as it was in the 90s. It's got fire and energy. It's all there. It's a fantastic show with the band. Again, the chemistry's there. It's the timing's right, and it's fantastic. We are a total of 20 production trucks that tour around everywhere in every city. We have four sets of steel, which is the stage. It takes 3 days to put the steel up, three 12-hour shifts, and then it takes us 8 hours to put the production up.
What are they doing right now? What's the process that we're looking at right now?
Right now what's going on is we just arrived from Kansas City. We are loading in the production of the show, all the rigging, the sound, the lights, the video, the band gear, the set, all the elements, which I call the decorations. We're decorating the black steel. And that comes in where we bring it all in and make it come alive tonight. We should be done here by 11 this evening.
So those guys worked all day yesterday till 11 o'clock last night. They'll do some more finishing touches today. Sound check today is supposed to be right around 4 o'clock or so. And then the show itself tonight will start at 8 o'clock. Alice in Chains is the opening act, but it's sold out tonight. If you still want to see Guns N' Roses, you'll be able to do that on Sunday. Tickets are still available.
And Dean's going to get Sandberg again. By the way, the whole discussion there reminded me of the new Showtime show, Roadies.
Yeah, yeah. I haven't seen it, but that's what all the actual roadies that I was hanging out with yesterday told me.
Yeah, I was watching the first two episodes, and Dean is, you and I being former Big Shot disc jockeys, have been backstage at a few shows, and it's just, you tell me after you see it, it's just missing it a little bit. Just a little bit. Just missing it just a little.
The show is.
That's my review of Roadies.
The show of the Roadies is.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'll have to check it out and see.
Yeah, let me know. Get back to me. Sandberg, anything else on Guns N' Roses?
Yeah, I just want to let you know that I could headbang with the best of them.
Well, you and Darlis. Darlis was a rock chick.
Oh, I'm the official resident rock chick. You can join my posse, Mary.
All right, because I can whip my hair around. I used to do it so much that the next day you wake up and you can't move your neck.
Oh, I know. I whip and I nay-nay. Dean, remember that time you nay-nayed? You had to be taken to the hospital?
I do. You haven't seen hair whipping until you've seen Steve and I doing it.
Yeah.
Anybody can do it with long hair.
Yeah. I'll get to a point where I'll get the fuzz. It'll all be going in one direction, yep. And I'll snap it back in the other.
Yeah.
It's pretty sexy. All right, but we're going to talk to the balloon guy coming up. But before, we still have some other things to talk to you about, Dean. Again, the Wendy Show with Bill. Bill gone today? Is that the
Bill
deal?
Bill is gone today. It's his 25th wedding anniversary, so Bill is off. I'll be filling in, and we've got the guy who plays SpongeBob in SpongeBob the Musical on today. He's amazing. Can't wait to talk with him. Sunday on my radio show, we're going to be talking with Steven Spielberg. Weekend movies, by the way.
Yeah, BFG is his, right?
BFG is Steven Spielberg's, which honestly, I was a little disappointed. I gave it a C-plus from the guy who gave us E.T. I don't think it has that whimsy or the excitement that you expect from a Steven Spielberg movie like this. A little disappointed in that. I think the Tarzan movie is fine. I gave it a B-. It's an interesting retelling of the Tarzan legacy. This movie, The Purge, this is this movie franchise.
Purge Election?
Where election year. This franchise where one night of the year, it's perfectly legal to kill anybody that you want. And that the movie is sort of centered around a female political candidate who is against the purge and a conservative candidate who is for it is more than ironic, more than hilarious. And the fact that two political candidates literally want to kill each other, I find rather amusing. So
The timing is right.
I gave that one a B. I kind of like this purge franchise a little bit.
And I'm being told that the sequel to BFG is BFD.
It's Big Friendly Ghost.
Yeah, or something like that.
Friendly Ghost.
Also, Axl Rose was once in Hamilton, Joe, Frank, and Axel. I don't know if you know that.
Right, which is such a big hit on Broadway
now. This material is killing with old disc jockeys.
The Hamilton. 70s DJs are laughing.
Somewhere John Landeck is going, I love Cochran. He's great.
I hope he does a Gilbert O'Sullivan joke.
All right, buddy, enjoy your weekend, what you have of it, because it sounds like you're working nonstop.
We'll see you Monday night. I'll leave you a VIP pass so you can get in.
Yeah, Sandberg is now trying to find somebody to let her get on her shoulders so she can show us how she headbands.
I'll get on Andrea's shoulders, maybe.
Yeah.
I might go.
Okay. Well, not now. We got to finish the show. Is this your balloon buddy we're going to meet in a second?
Yeah, this is my balloon buddy, Scott McClinton.
All right, Scott the balloon man, who couldn't be more disgusted with me in my description of balloons earlier this week. Scott will straighten us out and answer all your balloon questions live from the Lyle Eyes in the Skies Festival. Big stories next.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Back live for the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival. It's a Hometown Voices Tour. It's presented by Allstate. Chicago's own good hands. Let's start with the basic premise that most of us know, and that is that I'm an idiot. Earlier this week, we were talking about coming out here to the Lyle Eyes of the Skies Festival, and I, of course, said what we all know, that the hot air balloons, I believe the way I put it was very succinctly, what do they got in those, helium? And then you, in an effort to not embarrass me, said, yes, I'm sure that is the case,
yes.
And then asked if I'd taken my meds.
No. I was trying to help.
We were then blistered with text messages from the audience, and by the way, rightfully so, who said, Steve, you're an idiot. And I said, yes, and? Hot air balloons, strangely enough, are filled with
air.
Hot air, that's right. Hot air balloons are filled with hot air. Not exactly an SAT question. And joining us to answer all of the mysteries of hot air balloons is Scott the Balloon Man. Scott, what's your last name?
Scott McClinton.
And what do you do, Scott?
I am called the Balloon Meister at this event, which means I orchestrate all the components that are in the air.
All right, and how long have you been doing balloons?
29 years.
How'd you get into that business?
It beats having a job. I've never had to work a day in my life.
How many times have you been up?
Roughly about 4,000.
Right. Ever have a near catastrophe in midair, like someone proposing and saying no?
Often.
Yeah, you got a lot.
And I always tell people, you should know the answer before you ask the question, especially since there's three of us there.
Amen, buddy. Because I'm the one that's got to be on the other side of the balloon going, don't look at them. Don't look at them. It'll be over soon.
It's so awkward when they say that, too.
All right, so there's people who think this is scary. Listen, I'm not Braveheart here. I've gone up, and it's nothing but fun.
Well, it's the most peaceful experience you'll ever have.
It totally is.
And I think what throws people is, as soon as we take off, they say, where are we going to land? And I don't know where we're going to land. I just know it's going to be that way.
Right.
And I think people in this world today want to have control over everything, and they don't like not knowing where they're going to go.
Yeah, I've landed in cornfields. I've landed in a backyard. I mean, you know, it's wherever you come. Well, it's whatever's appropriate for you, Balloon Meister, whoever's driving the thing to come down.
Yeah, we're looking for an open spot I can lay a big 100-foot cloth.
Right.
That's basically it. If it's in a neighborhood, it's in a neighborhood. If it's out in a farm. But I always want to be around people, especially kids, because they're free labor.
Exactly. All right, now here's my question. Is there a chaser when you go up? Because obviously you're not going to drag the balloon back to where you started.
Always. We have a van that follows us, some kind of a vehicle that'll pick us up. And that's where our crew, our basic crew is. But, again, we always want to be around folks because that thing weighs a lot. It's easier to have little kids pack it up.
You're old enough, like me, to remember maps. Not Google Maps, actual maps.
I have some.
What's harder to fold, an actual map or a balloon?
An actual map.
Because how do these suckers get to the point where you can put them in a van?
It's like dirty laundry. You know, you can always get the dirty laundry back in the suitcase, and that's what we do. We put that laundry back in that bag.
All right, before we get to hot air, let's just have some questions, starting with you, Sandberg.
How come you can't just land it back where you took off from?
Wind currents. The wind currents are always predominant, and they're generally one direction. So in this part of the country. Now, when we go out west, when you put a mountain feature in there, quite often, probably 60, 70% of the time, we can actually maneuver back to the place where you take off because of the topography.
So you can tack backwards?
Yeah, the predominant winds are always the same, but generally a mountain will give you a reverse topography flow. So it'll give you the flow down low that's opposite of the true wind.
Is the wind piece of this the same sort of knowledge you need to sail?
Very much so. Very much so. We don't have the ability to cut hard left and right because we don't have that sail that's directional. But essentially, yes, if we take off, we're going to go with the wind.
This is Hot Air Balloon Corner. It's a new Friday segment we do on the show. Andrea, have a question?
I do. How are we able to hear when you're in a hot air balloon? Because I've been in one time here about 10 years ago with Wayne, and it was awesome and cool and wonderful. But how are you able to hear people's conversations on the ground?
Well, when we're sitting here on the ground and we're talking back and forth, there's lots of stuff to absorb that sound, the grass and these tables. But as soon as you look up, there's nothing to absorb that sound. So that sound wave is going to travel until it strikes whatever it's going to strike, namely your ear. So that's why we hear the dogs, because those dogs will pitch their head back and they'll start that bark, and there's nothing to stop it.
But if you're flying at 100 feet or 150 feet or 200 feet, you're hearing conversation. All right, be honest. What have you heard? What have you heard? You flying over mob houses trying to get an idea of where the bad guys are?
I do a lot of rural flying. I'm from Kentucky.
Okay.
We see a lot of agricultural work that never makes it to the store.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet. Different distributorships.
Yeah, it's a different line.
Yeah. All right, now, the hot air piece of this, we talked a little bit with Bennett about this earlier, but that's a propane burner, right?
Yes, just like your gas grill. It has a pilot light that stays lit all the time, just like your gas grill. And when you want more heat in your grill, you turn it up, and we use the blast valves. And all we're doing is we're regulating the flow of the propane.
And you bring the balloon down gently by limiting the amount of fire you throw into the balloon.
We do, and each balloon is equipped with a cord that is attached to the top of the balloon. It's called a parachute, and you can allow some of that heat out if you need to come down quicker. But most of the time, that heat will elapse itself in a period of time.
What's the coolest ride you ever had?
Two of them. One is the Shenandoah Valley. It's beautiful valley up in the East Coast, and it's just beautiful. And the Temecula wine country. Everybody goes to California and they want to do Napa Valley. Don't do Napa Valley. Do the Temecula wine country. Much, much prettier.
So do you go festival to festival? Is that your gig now?
We do. The United States, generally in the United States, we travel from about the end of March until the 1st of November, and then we go to the West Coast, which is where all the snowbirds go. And we do a lot of international travel in the wintertime because opposite seasons over there.
How do you know when to hit the propane burner?
It's equilibrium. If you're a balloon pilot flying, you can't have an ear problem because you'll never be able to pick up those distinctions in the changes or the descents or the or when you're rising. So you have.
So
to
it's literal feel for you. You have a feel. So it could be every few seconds. It could be a minute or more, whatever.
Well, I have instruments that tell me generally what the temperature is in the balloon, and I know generally what the temperature is outside. So I'm going to keep that spread all the time. But in the last 100 feet, instruments don't do me any good. It's my balance and my visual interpretation of it. Because when I burn, when I hit the burner, it takes anywhere from 8 to 11 seconds for that heat to get up there. So I'm always trying to think 13 seconds ahead.
Sounds like a fun way to make a living.
I've never had to work a day in my life.
Pretty great, right? Well, me either, but you know, your view is better.
It is better.
So, nice to meet you. Any other questions on hot air balloons? Dave, how do you not have a question?
Yes, I do have a question, actually. So I was a little bit surprised that the basket is an actual woven basket. Is that a weight thing?
No, it does two things. One, the rutan is just a beautiful... It's a beautiful accent to the balloon.
Is it a Longaberger?
It's not quite a Longaberger, but the wicker gives it absorbs the shock inside the basket. Because if you notice, we didn't have any landing gear, no wheels, no nothing. So the pilot literally has to grace and grease that landing when he comes in. And so when it hits the ground that first time, that wicker is very yielding and forgiving, and it makes it softens up the landing.
What about putting landing gear on it?
Anything that reduces the resistance will reduce the ability to stop the balloon's forward movement when it hits the ground. So we actually use the basket scooting across the grass to stop the balloon.
Okay.
Science, baby. That's what it's all about.
Good Dave, stop. You should have asked the question, is it a sport?
Well, it depends. When I started this years and years ago, it was a hobby gone bad. Oh. And that's how most ballooning starts, is that
funny,
people, they do it as a hobby, and then the next thing you know, they're consumed with it.
And did the people race a lot still?
It's a navigational. It's much like sailing. It's a navigational race, not a speed race. Yeah. And there's races all over the country. This weekend is one of the largest race weekends, from Michigan all the way down to New Mexico this weekend.
So if I want to buy one, what's it going to cost me?
It's like a used car. You can start one at 15 or 20, or you can go buy a brand new one for 60 or 70.
60 or 70,000.
Mm-hmm.
What am I getting for my 60,000?
I'm getting a 3,000 yards of material, handcrafted, handcrafted basket. You're getting probably a 10-year life out of the balloon part, the fabric part, and you're getting a basket that'll last you your lifetime.
Right.
It's not a lot of storage either. Put it in your garage, right?
Fold it up, yeah.
Put it in the garage. Most pilots that do this part-time put it on a trailer, and they slide it in the garage, or they put it in a storage rental, and it's like a boat. They do it when they want to do it. I'm lucky enough to be able to do it every day in different parts of the country.
Have you ever done high altitude?
I have. My son is actually a very accomplished high altitude long distance flyer. In his 26 years, he just completed a 434-mile flight from Iowa down to North Carolina.
One of the most amazing things scientifically that's happened in the last, I don't know, generation was this guy who dove out of a balloon in outer space and parachuted back after free falling for I don't know how long. Now, the amazing part about that is that he lived, that they were able to do the science in this experiment, that the balloon lived, that all of that science worked, and secondarily, that I can name every character on the Flintstones, but I can't remember his name. It shows you what we're interested in, right? I mean, great scientific experiment like that. And ballooning goes back to when this country started.
It is. It goes all the way back to 1783. It's very, very, it's the most amazing. Traditional form of aviation that there is.
Yeah, and back then the founding fathers would go, what, no peanuts on this? I'm taking a different balloon. Great to see you. You got a website or anything you want people to look into?
Skycab-balloons.com.
Skycab-balloons.
Yes.
.com. Nice to see you. How about a hand for the balloon man? He's Balloon Meister Scott. Scott McClinton. Nice to see you.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio.
That's Allstate, Stan. Are you in good hands?
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah, go ahead. No, feel free. Feel free. If you ever meet anybody in show business that turns down applause, they're not actually in show business. Nice to see everybody out here for the Lyle Eyes to the Skies Festival. And Andre Darles is here. Mary's here. And Dave's here. And Samber's taking care of things, and Adam's got the buttons going, and Decker is taking care of pictures and video. My brother's in town.
Yeah.
My brother Mickey, my hero in life, is here. Right now he's wandering around asking for free things.
No, you know what he did? You know, the first thing when he comes and says hi to everybody, he says, you want some coffee?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to get some coffee. And
going, he's waiting on everybody.
Get us some warm donuts. He's the best.
Donuts. Yeah. Mm, donuts. What are you, Homer Simpson?
Yeah.
One of the reasons we're here, of course, is because these Hometown Voices Tour are sponsored by our friends at Allstate. Of course, we're in the Allstate Showcase Studio most days. And I want to take a minute here to recognize and say hi to Imbrilli. I mean, she's got a lot going on. She doesn't need to be here. Right? I mean, it's her 10th anniversary.
Right.
She's got stuff happening. Mary sure is here. Mary, how are you?
I'm great. Thanks.
Happy anniversary.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
And 10 years.
10 years. All right, 10 years as an agent.
So 20 years in the corporate office, at what point through the 20 years do you decide I'm going to go out and start the business myself?
Well, I actually worked about 16 years in corporate, okay. and then I started my own consulting firm. And I have one client, Allstate, and I did that for about 6 years. And one of my projects was to help agents grow their business, and I thought, oh, I can do this.
Right.
And
But it's a big deal starting your own
business. And it was, so 2006, 2007, it was sort of boom times in the economy.
Right,
and
sure. Then, I remember.
Eight
so does half of my 401k.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Then 8 hit us by surprise hard. But but it's been great. It really, it's a very interesting transition to go from corporate to having your own thing. I always felt very well prepared.
You know, they say when you start a new business, the first year is the toughest. Is that true in the insurance business?
Definitely, maybe the first three were really
okay.
tough.
All right.
Yeah.
And over that course of time, we talked about it too, the word of mouth thing. You take care of one customer, they tell another. Is that the best way you guys spread your name?
By far, yeah. I get probably half my business from referrals. So we do a good job with our customers, and it pays off in dividends.
All right, so educate us. What should you use your insurance agent for? Because people go, well, I send a check-in. But what can we take advantage of you as our insurance agent to do?
I love that question. So number one is to know your product. A lot of times when people just send the check in, they don't really take the time to understand what they're buying.
Yeah, they don't know what they have or what they don't have.
Right. So the worst time to find out is when you have a claim.
Sure.
And maybe it's not right. So what we do is we do some education up front. Every time a policy renews with us, we do that same education again. And we'll present options, and I always say to the customer, it's ultimately your decision, but what I want you to do is know that it's your decision. You're making this decision to have, you know, a really high deductible to save money or not. So it's about preparing the customer and managing that risk for them.
But does
them.
That put the pressure on you to ask the right questions or on us to ask you the right questions? Because, for instance, if I call you and I go, I don't know if I have the right coverage on my house for this or that, then you can tell me what you think. I've got to make the call, but you can tell me what you think works.
Yeah, so usually when we have that type of discussion, I'm also getting to know the person too, and I get an assessment or a gauge of what's their appetite for risk. So some people will just want to manage to a really low premium and take a high deductible, and they're happy with that. Others want us to take on more risk, which means that they would pay a bit higher premium. And those are usually the couple of levers that we talk about to influence the price. Of course, there are many others, but it just comes from knowing your customer
yeah.
to ask those questions to sort of know how to guide them in those conversations.
Yeah, and you gotta. I suppose there's no stupid questions. I always, you know, people go, well, I don't like asking questions because then they try to upsell me. My opinion would be, if you're my Allstate agent and I don't trust you, I ought to get a different agent.
Right.
Because you're kind of important in my life when the trouble comes.
Exactly. And like I said, that's where I try to soften it by saying, here's the information. Now, ultimately, it's your decision. You know, it's your decision to make. I don't know that much upselling really occurs. I know in my office, we're trying to keep customers and match what they want from
right.
a coverage standpoint and their budget.
Yeah, it's not a trinket business.
Exactly.
It's like,
right.
you know, you got a car, you need to have coverage. You got a house, you need to have a coverage.
Exactly, because they also call us when they have a claim, and that's our moment of truth. That's where we really shine. So I would never want to have that conversation that I saved them a few bucks on premium but didn't do the right job on what they needed from coverage. I would never want that.
Yeah, and I'm an Allstate customer. I've been forever.
Thank you.
I like that part where you send me money when I don't run into things.
Okay,
that's
good.
That's a safe driver discount.
Good, yes. Good job.
But one of the things that struck me is my daughter had an accident at one point, and the agent I had at the time really wasn't that helpful, and I moved to a different agent because of that. Because even though there's corporate levels all the way through Allstate that handle the various parts of a car accident,
yep.
what you want to hear when you're stressed out is for you to say, these are the people we are going to need to talk to.
Right.
And if you don't get satisfaction from this person, I want you to call me.
Right.
And then I'll help guide you through the process as opposed to, yeah, I don't know, check the website.
Right.
And what I like about Allstate is I didn't get that when I you know, came back.
And I think especially for younger drivers, anybody that has an accident, I don't care how long you've been driving, it's nerve-wracking. It's a bit traumatic
right.
for that point in your life. A younger driver, it just, you know, goes that much further up
right.
in terms of anxiety. So that is truly when we really should be stepping in and sort of holding your hand along the way.
Part of the responsibility as an agent in a small business in not just the Western Burbs, but wherever, is giving back to the community.
Right.
So who do you want to introduce?
Well, I want to introduce Julie Yurko. She is the president and CEO of the Northern Illinois Food Bank, and we've been doing a lot of work with them, and I'll let her talk a bit about her organization.
Yeah, Julie, you supply food for whom?
Sure. We provide food to over 71,000 hungry neighbors across 13 counties every week. So we're going to do that through a food pantry, a soup kitchen, or a shelter. Anyone can come in and get the food that they and their family need. So that we make sure that they have enough food, full bellies for all kids, full bellies for our seniors, enough food so folks can live, grow, and thrive.
Where do the donations come from?
Donations come from all over. We are a charity that is run on the goodness of others. So Allstate comes and they volunteer with us and provided 40 agents provided hours of time sorting potatoes, packing backpacks for our kids. And then also for each agent, we got $1,000 from Allstate. So we can use those funds to help. We have over 30 trucks on the road. We have three big warehouses, one in Geneva, one out in Rockford, one out right by Great America. And we can use those funds to help run our operations, bring food in and out for our neighbors in need.
I think a lot of people think of, you know, the not the homeless issue necessarily, but the hungry issue in Chicago is a Chicago issue. In the suburbs, there's a lot of poverty and there's a lot of people that need help, right?
Right.
Absolutely true. We know from a Brookings Institute study that from 2000 to 2010, the number of people living in poverty doubled here in the suburbs. We know that our neighbors, which are over 500,000 here in our suburbs that are going hungry, we know that they're working families. 77% of the families are working, but they aren't making enough money. 66% of them are making less than $30,000 a year, so they have to stretch their dollars. And so they don't have enough food to eat. They can't fill their cupboards and make sure that their kids have full bellies when they go to bed.
Mary, you brought up an initiative that she started as well, too, with the backpacks, as far as, like, stocking up the backpacks. So if, you know, you have people over and people start to bring a hostess gift or some sort of bottle of wine or something like that, this was a great idea. Bring some food or bring a backpack with food, and they can bring that in as well.
Right, right. So I think there were a bunch of backpacks that were donated, and there, like Julie said, there were about 40 of us that showed up and filled them with a weekend's worth of food for a bunch of kids, which was a great thing because they had heard that some were really sustaining themselves on the food that they get at school. So it served two purposes. And it was a great effort, too. Exhausting. I was saying that to Julie, that it's not easy work, but it really is pretty fantastic.
So you get a sense of what Julie does every day. It's a lot harder than what you and I do.
Than sitting at a desk, absolutely.
Yeah, well, you're sitting here and me sitting and talking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we finished early. We were really aggressive about getting everything done right on the assembly line and improving things. And so we finished about an hour and a half early, and they said, oh, we have 500 pounds of potatoes that we want you to tear down and pack into 5-pound bags.
Oh, so that's great.
That, too, was great. But, yeah, it's tough work. But it's the second you walk in the place, you begin to get busy with what your assignment is. It's such a great volunteer opportunity, whether you have an hour, a group of people, or just yourself heading over there to do
something. Well, that's an important point to make, and I'm glad you brought it up, Julie, because it's not just money. Money helps, obviously, if you can contribute. Food helps, but it's the volunteer hours that are a big deal as well.
Do you use a lot of schools for service? But what happens in the summer when you don't have that service with the kids helping out?
We ask people to come in 365 days a year. We need help. Hunger is a year-round issue, so we invite people to come in at all times. We get school groups. We get folks that come regularly every week for us. You know, hunger is a solvable issue. Hunger is a solvable issue.
Right.
Our neighbors are at risk of missing up to 70 million meals here in our suburbs every year. There's enough food. All it takes is people getting involved. So we just ask folks.
It's a redistribution, right? It's a redistribution of the food. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
80% of what we're given is donated food. It's going to go in the landfill. All we need is folks coming in and choosing to get involved, and we can turn that into nutritious, healthy meals for our neighbors. So we invite all of your listeners, please, solvehungertoday.org. You can volunteer with us, donate, just get involved and help us. This is a solvable issue. No one has to be hungry here.
Well said, Timber.
An important point that Julie keeps saying is that there are neighbors. I think sometimes we think hunger is like a dilapidated block that isn't in our neighborhood.
Yeah, it's other people.
It could be very well your neighbor that you see go to work every day and the kids go to school and they do homework and they're doing okay. And like they may not have enough food. So it could be right in your own backyard that you're helping.
And I think sometimes that's even more intense for those individuals because it's not as comfortable to say, I don't. You know, I'm not able to meet my budget or, you know, provide food for my kids.
Well, that's an interesting point, too, Julie, because for folks that, you know, thinking from a dad's perspective, the last thing you want to do is not be able to provide for your family. But you don't want to wait to the point where you're truly desperate, right? You want to know the resource is there and step up and use the resource and take some pressure off yourself.
Absolutely. And we have, more again, 800 feeding sites, food pantries, soup kitchens, and shelters in every community across our 13 counties. So folks who need help, they can go to solvehungertoday.org. There's a Get Help button. You can click on it, and you will find a food pantry that will be able to provide you with beautiful fresh produce, with the meat you need, even some treats for the 4th of July holiday.
Sure.
Everything you need. It's right there for our neighbors. But it takes them. There is a courage in stepping up and saying, I need some help. And many of us are able to speak about other challenges we have in our life, but we might feel ashamed about the hunger. Do not be ashamed. Come and get the food you need. We have it for you.
Yeah, I would say the strongest thing you can do is admit that little help that you need. That's not weakness. That's strength.
Right. That's strength.
If you want to stick around for a second, your friend Mary here has a presentation we're going to do right after we take a break.
Wonderful.
Right,
thank you.
Stand by. And Mary, thank you for everything you're doing. If people want to get a hold of you at the agency, what do they do?
They call 630-369-0759. I have a fantastic staff. So they can help you if I'm not available, but ask for me. We pick up our phone all the time, every ring.
Yeah, you're never off duty.
Nope.
Yeah, how about that? Let's take a break and come back, and we'll do that in just a second on 720 WGN. Is there something you'd like me to say?
Traffic sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
We're not doing traffic this hour.
The Hour is sponsored by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
Right. Mary's
very
off.
Generous.
It's a union thing.
Yeah.
Back with more in a moment on 720 WGN. There we go. Thought the band might have been off. 4th of July weekend. I hope everybody has plans with the people you love. Mary Scher is Mary Gates Scher. Is it Mary Gates Scher or Mary Scher? What do you prefer?
I'm good.
Let's get you a microphone that's actually on. We good now? Either one's fine?
Either one is fine.
All right.
Kind of my business name is Mary Gates Scher, but most people know me as
just want to make sure we know
personally.
That, yeah. And you have a big old check here.
I do indeed.
This is the golf check, the giant golf winner check.
Yes.
That you're presenting to whom again?
So it's going to the Northern Illinois Food Bank, and we are very proud to present them with this check. Hopefully in future years we'll keep adding zeros to it.
Yes.
We really love supporting and donating to the Northern Illinois Food Bank.
And it's a check for how much?
It's a check for $1,000.
All right. Well, please hand that over. And don't try to cash that at the bank. We'll get you the real one.
Thank you so much. The Northern Illinois Food Bank will be able to use this $1,000. We will turn this into $8,000 worth of groceries that we will get out to our hungry neighbors.
Really? How about how about a hand for everybody?
That's fantastic.
The Northern
Illinois
Food Bank.
Absolutely.
And for you. And happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. So kind of you to say.
Yeah. And are you celebrating other than being on the show?
This is my celebration today.
Ooh, wow.
Good answer, good answer.
Thank you.
Yeah, let's get her a balloon. There's some over here.
I don't get on air that often, so this is a highlight, believe me.
Well, I'm glad you're here. Thanks
Thank
for being
you very
here.
Much.
All right,
Thank
you guys,
you.
Go take some pictures.
Okay.
The Steve Cochran Show continues at 9:28. By the way, I wanted to mention, see if I can find it here quickly enough to do it. There's another event coming up in Naperville. There's a new venue called Empire, and they're getting together with Family Shelter Service. They're having a sneak peek benefit next week. Empire is at 48 West Chicago Avenue in Naperville. Be open to the public in a matter of days. And the owners are Phil and Marta Cullen, and they get together with Family Shelter Service for a pre-opening fundraiser next Thursday night from 7 to 10. Proceeds will support Family Shelter Service's work with victims of domestic abuse, which is a cause that's close to my heart, to try to find a way to prevent it and to help grow family shelter service. The $50 ticket price includes food and cocktails, or a signature cocktail, and other beverages. And again, it's at Empire. Tickets are limited and are first come, first serve. The family shelter service has been around for, I think this is their 40th anniversary.
Yeah. It's a wonderful organization.
They do a great job. They really do. And you can enjoy the brand new Empire located at 48 West Chicago Avenue. The big event is next Thursday night. Get your tickets and just Google Empire Naperville or Family Shelter Service, and they'll link you right to it. And how did the check presentation go? You feel good about it?
I feel really good about it. They're okay. So excited. How about that, though? That $1,000 is going to go to feed. They're going to turn that into $8,000 worth of food. How great is that?
Apparently, they're magic.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to take $1,000 and turn it into $8,000. David Copperfield over there with her check. I think we need one more quick break before we come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Come on! Kevin.
Dave.
He's missing.
He's home alone.
Kevin Powell, former producer of this program, is now a big shot baseball reporter. And also does sports on the Ro Khan Show. Hey, by the way, what's with all the field trips? Ro taking you out like every night of the week?
Yeah, there's a lot of permission slips I need to get signed by my parents, but a lot of field trips. And, yeah, every couple weeks we'll do a show outing. It's
you mean every couple
busy,
days.
Sure.
Ro's got to get his own friends. He's got to stop making you guys do stuff.
Yeah, he pays us to hang out with him. You know, it's like his posse. He just wants to be seen with a crowd of people around him, so...
One of the things you guys did, which sounded kind of interesting, was somewhere in Chicago you can go and be in sensory deprivation pods for an hour.
It's in water, right?
Well, they fill the water with salt.
That's weird. So
like thousands of pounds of salt, and it's 10 inches of water, and you can't sink because there's so much salt in there. So you sort of just float on it, and... it was pretty cool. When I was touring the Cubs clubhouse, they have one in theirs, and it's a lot of athletes now use them these days. They're supposed to be relaxing, and you kind of just zone out for an hour. I enjoyed it. They had a few different sorts of pods. Mine looked like a coffin, so it was completely pitch black, and it was tight in there, and I loved it. But some of the other ones looked like day spas where you could sort of walk around and move around a bit.
Sensory deprivation. Sensory deprivation meaning completely black, right? Dark?
Yeah, that's how mine was. That's why I enjoyed mine, because it was pitch black for an hour. I couldn't really move around much. I just sort of laid there on top of the water. But some of the other ones were, it looked like a hot tub, and there was a shower, and you can kind of walk around with a bench. So I enjoyed mine. The other ones looked like day spas where you could spend a whole day in there. So, I'd recommend it. It was fun.
The thing that amazes me about this is you and Violetta in particular, well, for that matter, Devontis, you all are so addicted to your phones, not that I'm not, but how did you guys go an hour without touching your phones?
You know what, for me, I turned it off, I put it on the counter, and I went in this chamber. Again, it looked like a coffin. For Violetta, I don't think it was as easy. She ended up texting everybody and was on Twitter. As she was sitting in her area, so for her, she wasn't able to resist the phone. But I turned mine off and zoned out for an hour, which was nice.
Don't yes. you get earplugs too?
Yeah, they give you earplugs. I didn't put the earplugs.
Have you done this?
No, but I've heard about this.
Judy Pilek was telling me about it, and she needed a pillow, and they didn't have one for her headrest. She thought she was drowning.
Yeah, Judy was in there. We were supposed to sit in there for an hour, and Judy gave up after like 20 minutes and left and waited for us in the lobby. She wasn't having it.
Well, there are things, Dave. I don't know if you've done this. There are things that sound like a really good idea. Like I remember a few years ago playing golf in Arizona, and there was a spot, like in Scottsdale, Arizona, there's a golf course on every corner. Here's the four corners. It's a golf course, a Starbucks, and then two spas on every corner in Scottsdale. Right. Actually, one corner, there's a mall. So I go in for a massage. How does this sound like a first world problem? I go in for a massage afterwards, and it's like late in the day. My guy goes, oh, you got to try and I think it was called the Celestial Shower, which sounds like an out-of-context Nick DiGiulio thing.
Yeah.
And it's a shower with like 75 shower heads.
Mm-hmm.
And you're thinking, well, this is kind of... That's kind of cool, right? I went in. It was like you're being attacked. You know, the shower head, you can't control the water pressure. Right. And there's a kid, there's the worst job in America, the towel boy kid who's got to stand outside and wait for me to come out and try not to admit that I'm a wimp. And these shower heads are blasting you all over, and you're covering up the important areas because there's one there, too. And it's hitting you in every possible spot, and it was miserable. It's like the Judy Pollack thing you were talking about. 20 minutes, literally, 4 minutes, I'm out.
But see, the chamber that Kevin's describing, I'm somewhat claustrophobic. That sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah, it is claustrophobic for a lot of people, Dave. I chose this particular chamber because I enjoy that. I got an MRI once, and I absolutely loved it. Anybody got an MRI and you're claustrophobic, you'll absolutely freak out.
What are you, part canine?
I love my MRI.
Who loves MRI?
The only people, the only other species I know that likes to be wrapped up like that are dogs.
Yeah, I love when they give you that IV.
Or infants. Babies like that. And swaddling
They're giving us a tour of all the different pods and whatnot, and I saw this one, and I immediately picked it. Everybody else was sort of freaked out by it, and they didn't want to do it. So, but I ended up having one of the better experiences. The rest of them were in, again, these giant, it looked like a giant pool. Like, Judy was like, yeah, I was doing laps in the thing. You know, I was just like swimming around and playing in the pool, and that's how they all were. For mine, it was this tight little chamber, but if you're claustrophobic, you probably would want one of the other ones that Judy and Roe and Violetta did, because the one I had was, it felt like a coffin.
Just so you guys know, we are doing an outing as well, and it is mandatory. It's a weekend at the Peninsula.
Okay. Now, if we have to.
Yes. Yeah. Each of you get suites.
Yeah.
And your own expense accounts.
Nice.
All right, so let's talk some baseball here. Your Chicago Cubs, 51 wins at this point. Have they ever done this?
Oh, yeah, excuse me. Yeah, they.
Well, you're the baseball guy, buddy.
I know. I'm sorry. I didn't know if you were talking to Dave here. Yeah, they are cruising right now, and I think obviously as we've seen, they moving forward as the deadline is just a month away. Bullpen help. That's the biggest question mark right now, is adding arms to the bullpen. For me, the question is how much are they willing to give up for that? Because this is sort of the time of the year when hypotheticals get thrown out. People are suggesting certain names. I've even heard people mention Kyle Schwarber's name. Would you be willing to give him up for a good bullpen arm? So, to me, it's how much are the Cubs willing to give up? How big of a haul are they looking for? But there's no question they need bullpen help right now. It's been pretty bad for, I don't know, the past few weeks, really. So, but the Cubs are in a weird position because they've most teams found themselves in the Cubs' position right now. There's no question they would say, "Well, we'll give up anything. We're in it for the long haul. We're going to go for the whole thing." Where the Cubs were like, they tanked for a few years and they got all these players to the draft and they acquired all these players. Are they willing to just all of a sudden give up some of these top prospects in hopes that they could bring back a few arms that could help them down the road?
You got to get it done. This is the year. This is the year. You have to get it done. And this is why you're as deep as you are. Dave, tell me if you agree or disagree.
No,
you've got to make whatever deal you need to make to think that you have the best run to win a World Series.
I'm not sure that that's Schwarber, though. I think you've got enough organizational depth. A lot of it's up right now because of injuries, but that doesn't mean these guys are all going to stay up here. Almora being a case in point. You're going to get La Stella back. You're going to get Fowler back. So as these guys come off the DL, that gives you a little more flexibility.
Right. I wouldn't give up Schwarber either, Dave, and I wouldn't give up Baez because we've seen how valuable Baez has been. He pretty much can play almost any infield position, even the outfield, really. So those are the two I wouldn't even think about trading. Honestly, Soler, Almora, you could probably get a pretty decent return for them, and I think they'd be willing to deal one of them. Wilson Contreras, they're not going to trade him. So, but there's still plenty in the farm system for them to move around, and this is the luxury the Cubs have from building such a strong farm system that now they have pieces they can move to bring arms in, and like you said, Steve, go for it all.
White Sox have been hot lately. Is it going to last?
It's hard to tell. Like, I think last week when we talked, I said they're one of the most unpredictable teams I can remember. They're dancing around the 500 mark right now. They still need starting pitching. They need bullpen help. They need another bat. Melky Cabrera has a wrist issue. If he's going to be out of the lineup, it's only supposed to be a couple days. But if that thing lingers and that's another bat you're missing, then they're in serious trouble. But see how they finish out this All-Star break. And And if they think they're real or if they think they're pretenders and need to start dealing pieces, because they can't do what they did last year and have this idea that they're actually contending, when in reality they should have moved some players last trade deadline and acquired some players for their farm system. But I will say Tim Anderson, if you haven't had a chance to watch much of him, the new shortstop the Sox brought up a couple weeks ago is an absolute joy to watch. He's one of the fastest players I've ever seen run the bases. He's hitting well. He's playing defense well. That's a player they can build around. So he's sort of been a spark at the top of the lineup and been a spark for the whole team, really. They won 7-10 right now, 3 straight series wins. So, you know, there's hope for them. They're still within reach of the wild card. They can't give up on the season just yet.
Don't you love when Kevin at 26 calls someone an absolute joy?
Yeah.
The best.
27, the best. Steve.
27, sorry. How are you spending your 4th of July weekend?
Well, I have a wedding tonight. Tomorrow I will be on the beat with Mark Carmen. Sunday I will be with Jared Payton on the sports feed. And then Monday I'll be back at the station 3 to 7.
With Roe in a pod.
Monday is the 4th of July. Yeah. Roe's not doing a show Monday.
Kevin alone in a pod.
So he kind of let that.
It'll be fun. It'll be a fun weekend. Some work, a lot of play. So
wait, are you working Monday?
I'll be in Monday, correct.
Oh, you will? Okay.
He kind of let that slip in there, but on Sunday he's going to be on Sports Feed, which is television on CLTV with Jared Payton.
Tell you what, I am so good for your career. Imagine if I'd made you stay with me.
You guys are the best. So. You guys are the best. It's going to be a fun weekend.
Happy 4th, buddy. Say hi to your family.
You too, guys. See you.
See you later. Mary Gates Scher has been an Allstate agency owner in Aurora and Naperville now for 10 years. Today was her anniversary. We just met her a few minutes ago. Delightful lady.
She was fantastic.
Our kids played baseball together.
What do you mean?
Our sons played baseball together. She used to live up near me.
You and Mary?
No, Mary's son and my son.
When are you in? You and I didn't even know you played.
No, they played baseball together.
So your kids played Little League?
Yes.
And were you a coach?
I was a coach.
Did you bench her kid?
He did not play for me.
Oh, it was in another team in a league.
Yes,
another
team.
It was one of those games that Dave would go and watch.
Right. Did any of the kids file a claim and she was the agent?
No. Everybody was okay.
Somebody was hit by a pitch?
Yes.
Listen, there's nothing like an accident or a house fire to make you go, man, I really hope I've got a great Allstate agent, and I hope you do, like Mary Gates Scher. As a matter of fact, if you want a consultation with her, you can pick up the phone and call her at 630-369-0759. Allstate offers competitive prices, but the best thing they have at Allstate is customers referring themselves to other customers.
That's
at
what
Allstate.
Mary said. Yeah, word of mouth.
Right. 630-369-0759. 630-369-0759 for Allstate. Schedule a consultation and do it today. And we're back.
Woo!
Thanks to Adam.
Thanks, Adam.
Woo-hoo. Thanks to everybody here.
What a great crowd we had.
Yeah, very nice.
Thank you, Lyle.
We want to make sure that everybody understands, even though the balloons weren't able to go up this morning because of the wind speeds, they feel very good about the forecast this afternoon, also tomorrow morning and Sunday morning. So come out and get the rides.
Come on out and see. And as the mayor said, too, they're all going to be set up at night, too, on the field, so you can take a selfie with the night glow. That is absolutely magnificent to see.
There's a sentence you wouldn't have said 10 years ago. You can take a selfie with the night glow.
With the night glow balloon.
And now you actually know what it means. Thanks back at the station to Bob Ferguson, to Bennett, and to Mike Jacobson, who really should find real work. Jake, thanks. Have a great 4th of July weekend. Thanks to Sandberg for producing the program, as always, and telling us what to do and yelling at us when we mess up. What are you doing this weekend?
No!
Yes. What did you say? Wouldn't I like to know?
Yeah.
I
want you to go to break, please.
It's a need-to-know basis.